B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I thought maybe I should write you a song, you know? Because I done wrote so many songs, but I wrote nothing for you. So I wrote this song for you. Songs for you. I think I found it. Oh, shit. I think I drowned it. Drowning in all of these tears. Baby, because after all...
I know I could jump in any time, Jim. I'm just enjoying the song.
Get to the chorus.
And we would play more of these songs if Derek in Foxborough would send us more of them, like he did this one. My man, Derek, what's up?
Well, what's up, Zoe? You know, I've been thinking about sending in more songs. I don't know if I can deal with the haters, you know?
Haters? Who's hating on you?
I mean, just people calling it, like, the worst songs of all time, you know, which is ridiculous because I've heard Huey Lewis, Hip to Be Square, okay? Like, nothing could be worse. Than that song, so I take pride in being better than that.
It's got to be hurtful, Derek, because you take your craft very serious. You seem like a very serious,
you ever see 8 Mile?
Guy.
You ever see 8 Mile, Derek? The Eminem story?
Yeah, Eminem, great movie.
Look at him trying to put him down, man.
Yeah.
Throwing up, vomiting.
Oh, yeah.
Spaghetti in his mom's spaghetti.
But all great stories have, you know, you overcome, you know, difficulties. You know, you got to keep working at it, Derek. Don't
everybody ain't gonna love you,
down.
Man.
I understand that. Yeah, so you know, I got a cover song I did. I might.
What do you cover?
It's a very underground song. Not a lot of people know it, but I might send it in.
See, that's interesting because most cover songs are done with popular songs, and you go the other way, which is intriguing to us. It's going to make us play it more.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I know you guys did a segment like a couple of weeks about covers that are better than the originals, and you know, hopefully this one is better.
So, what do you got in the quarterbacks, Derek?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm glad you're on Team Cam. You know, I was never.
I'm on team. How about that, Derek?
Come on, Team Quarterback. Whoever the starter is.
Okay, he just switched over to Team Cam.
You know,
can you believe that?
It's starting to sway, though, isn't it? Feels like it's starting to sway. The one guy.
I mean, I just never bought into the Stidham hype. I mean, we had the same things about Ryan Mallett when he was, you know, drafted. I think in the third round.
Stidham's way better than Mallett. Way better than Mallett.
Well, we don't know. He's played a couple snaps. He threw the pick six. I mean, we don't know.
That's fair. All fair points.
He's a proven winner, been to a Super Bowl, MVP. I mean, I just think he's the guy, and I'm glad your team came.
Don't you think it's – go ahead, Zoe.
No, go ahead.
You don't think it's a little bit unfair, though, that you just got rid of Tom Brady. You have a COVID, no offseason, right? And then you bring in a big personality in Cam Newton. It was going to be very difficult, I think, for Jared to kind of, you know, grab it by the horns.
Doesn't seem like he dealt with it well. I think they're disappointed the way he's dealt with it. You know, the injury and, you know, just wanted him to make that move that puts pressure on it. They've created pressure, and maybe he's not reacting well to the pressure. Real quick, Derek, a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you tried the new Smart Food Crunch Berries?
You know, I saw Hardy tweeted that. I have not actually tried it.
Unbelievable!
I saw that. Is it really?
They look good. But again, I just like the berries. So again, I'm not gonna. If they have it with just the berries,
it's too much. It's too much.
The yellow things are just they're no good.
You gotta have the yellow.
There's no yellow in them, Derek. They're just straight berries.
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
Nothing but the berries.
So, all right, I'll have to try it then.
Okay, Target has it. Just get down Route 1, get to Target, get it there.
I'm going to send you that song, too.
More importantly, you send me that song, and we will wear that sucker out,
don't
baby.
Don't get discouraged. Don't let people get you down.
Screw the haters, man.
Yeah. All the greats have haters, Derek.
Right? Look at Adam Jones. Look at Adam Jones. You think people like him?
His co-host doesn't even
like him. I don't like him.
Art can't stand him. You should hear him throwing a break. But he thrives. He's
My
number
guess
one.
Is there's probably like a group, a support group for like, you know, struggling artists, you know, that you could be a part of if you want to be a part of, you know, a support group, Derek. So maybe look into that.
All right.
Derek, appreciate it, man.
Guys.
Good to hear from you.
Guys.
Don't be a stranger. Send that song. We'll get that played tomorrow. All right, buddy.
All right.
There he is, Derek and Fox.
Very sensitive guy. You know, just I got a lot of haters. You know, he's just, well, he feels he's down. He's
I don't know why you're hearing it. We didn't give out his information. You know what I mean?
Just the berries.
He emphasized that again, Tom. He is just the berries guy.
You can't have just the berries.
Right. Okay. We were going to do Pete Carroll and this ridiculous Century
This
Link
one fired you up.
This fired you
but
up,
I
too.
Am, but I am interested.
Because we know Pete.
Yes.
And we know what Pete. Pete's trying to create here. So.
Yeah. And so I'm, are we going to save it?
We're going to do it next.
All right. We'll
talk about
it.
The NFL.
Got
and,
thoughts on that.
And sound in stadium and what it will sound
just
like.
Just like, are the rules going to be, you know, it's well, kind of uniform.
It might have been
throughout the whole
might,
NFL.
Might have been a call yesterday with the league that we were informed of, and we have some inside info
Love
on.
It.
And Pete might be wishful thinking on this one. All right, we're going to do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pete, what is the balance you're trying to strike on the noise issue in the stadium? Are you trying to keep it low enough for Russ and the offense, but still make it tough on the opponent's offense? Or I remember you in the spring saying, well, we're going to crank it up to 11. And hope
okay, well, so that was a little testosterone reaction
yeah.
right there, you know. I had no idea what it was going to sound like. There is consideration for both sides. You know, you don't want to hinder your offense on your home court, you know. And so, we have to figure out how that's going to fit best. And so this is really an important experience on Wednesday to go in that regard, you know, to try to figure that out, because we won't get another opportunity to like that. So we'll answer it after that.
And is the only guidance you've gotten from the league is that you just have to keep it the same throughout? But other than that,
that's all I know right now, Greg, is that once we declare what it is, you got to keep it. I think you can change it from game to game, but you can't change it once the game starts. The part that just seems different is that once the sound's on the whole time in between plays and in between breaks and we're going from offense to defense and the kicking team's going and the fans are still, you know. Now, our fans could do that now. They could be like that. But it's not really a natural feeling, you know, to it.
About that halftime show, Ted. Super Bowl. You see it this year? You probably didn't see it, did you?
Of course I did.
Yeah, it's too sexy.
J-Lo?
Yeah. Was it Kesha?
I saw it.
Shakira,
same thing.
Oh, whatever. Okay, no, I didn't.
They all like it loud, right?
It should have been J-Lo. Was J-Lo part of it, though?
Oh, yeah. She's the headliner. So so there's Pete Carroll yesterday talking to reporters on Zoom. And
can you imagine?
This is crazy to me. So it's from Greg Bell, covers the Seahawks out in Seattle. It says, Pete Carroll said Wednesday that the mock game that is going to take place for the Seahawks to figure out what is the right noise level for them at games in an empty CenturyLink field for the COVID-19 season. Says he doesn't want to hamper the offense on his home field, but says he wants to keep Seattle noisy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pete's been a little misinformed as to some of the procedures that are going to take place in stadiums. And boy, do you take things for granted. So this is what we've heard from our sources. We are a broadcast partner, Bob Soucy, who we will talk to in a 12 o'clock hour from practice when it is over, is my play-by-play guy. I'm the color guy. We've been doing it for years. And during TV timeouts or stoppages in play, there is what they call a low ambient murmur. I couldn't tell you what that sounds like because I always took it for granted.
Yeah.
Now you're going to be sitting in it. We'll be calling games from home, at least for the month of September, in an empty stadium, which is going to be weird. But that low ambient murmur, NFL Films supposedly ran on every stadium. So every home stadium is going to be pumped with that low ambient murmur throughout the stadium. So it's going to feel like a TV timeout where, okay, and I'm going to hear, oh, that's what a low ambient murmur sounds like, you know, during that first TV time. And when there are good plays, there's supposedly going to be three or four positive play buttons that you can hit. Now, I would think that they would be incremental, wouldn't you? Like, say there's an offside. Yeah, you'll cheer for that, right? That would probably be the lowest one. Maybe you recover a fumble or an interception. That would be like the next highest, most positive one, right?
Yeah.
And then you would probably have a touchdown.
A sack?
A sack or touchdown. Very good, Ted. Ted's playing a game here. Maybe a punt return for a touchdown or a game-winning touchdown would be the ultimate one, maybe number four. And then on the flip side, you would have four negative ones, say when the other team does well, right? So that's all you're going to be able to increase. So the in stadium sound guy that's running your state is going to be able to pump that. You're not going to be able to, and this is what we've been told on our call, our stadium will not be able to crank the noise level to what Pete, I think, is assuming CenturyLink Field will do when the Legion of Boom, his new defense, is out there. And it's deafening, and you can't hear. And I've called games out there. Sure. I'm sure you've been out there, Ted, in Seattle.
You imagine offense calls a timeout with nobody in the stands.
You can't hear the damn thing. Right.
Nobody in the stands?
I think Pete thought prior to this call with the league yesterday that they're going to be able to juice the stadium the way they want.
Is there going to be kind of, and this is kind of crazy we're talking about this, but the decibel level going to be kind of a uniform decibel level across the league?
And this is where it's crazy, because now Miami is talking about having 13,000 fans, and they're a hot zone. We're not having fans, and we got one of the lowest curve rates.
Do we
flatten that curve?
Okay, but it's interesting, though, just the whole, how's it going to work? Because some states have
rules. It should be uniform.
It should be uniformed. Like, nobody should be able to have fans at any
stadium. Competitive advantage. This is why Atlanta, this is why Indianapolis have gotten fined before for pumping in extra crowd noise. And to make it difficult on the offense. This is an NBA Jams where the other team has the ball and you can crank it. So you will be able to control that low murmur. It'll be standard throughout the league, all 32. Whatever positive plays that they ran on NFL films, they got them from your stadium. So you're going to hear, say, a Patriots touchdown. You're going to hear the cheer. Then you're going to hear the rocket, the gun people, the muskets, boom, boom, boom. And, hey, this is our house, the song we love so much. Play, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to get that after touchdowns.
I think it's a hard job. That's going to be a hard job because you're going to have to react fast. I mean, have you seen some of the Fox broadcasts for baseball games?
Yes.
When you see...
is phenomenal.
Okay, except when they show a home run and they show the everybody in the stands, you hear the roar, but everybody in the stands the home team is not reacting to the home run yet. Because they superimpose fans out there, and, that aren't there.
Correct.
In the broadcast.
Correct.
And the ball hits the stands, and no one's clapping until like 2 seconds later. And then you see the claps.
That's virtual fans. That's a fake fans, though. So I don't care about the fake fans. I do care about the noise.
Okay.
I want to have that in my head.
You want, as a player out there, because I was trying to liken what it could be. Think about something that. In the past, in a football situation, I'm going to see if you had the same situation that I did. Have you played in kind of a stadium that's not really full? It's just kind of got a few thousand people there for a scrimmage, maybe back in the day?
Oakland, like when the Raiders started to fall a little bit?
About college?
College.
Spring game.
Duke.
I think spring game. I don't know if it's a Maryland spring game, but my spring game, it had a few thousand fans.
Yeah.
And it was kind of
Wake Forest, Duke. Yeah,
you could hear the coaches yelling and screaming, and it was pretty quiet.
Yeah,
that's what I feel like it would be like playing without the music. It would be like a spring game for us in college. That's what it would be. But is the stadium noise going to be the same exact noise that's pumped into the broadcast? So it's going to be all the same. Do we know? Or is the broadcast going to pump in different sounds versus what
we're not? We're not going to be able to pump in different sounds that we want. We're not going to be able to from what we've been told, we're not going to be able to control the ref's mic. It's going to be even tone throughout to when he turns it on. Like our guy Dennis, he's one of the best board ops in the league, makes us sound great every Sunday. He'd be able to jack that up. I think it's going to be difficult. Say we don't travel with the team and we're calling broadcasts from, say, here, like Sean Grandy and Max have. They've actually been down at TD Garden, but Judd and Bob have been here for the hockeys, and they sound great. We're going to sound good, but we're going to have some hiccups because we're not going to be able to see the orange glove guy. And when I say orange glove guy, there's a guy that steps on the field when there's a TV timeout, and we know to go to break. And we know whether it's a two-minute break or whether it's a short one or a long one based on the way his hands are holding, and you know that as players. we're gonna have a difficult time with personnel.
Very difficult.
During timeouts. Yeah. I don't know how many people are in the huddle. I don't know if it's two tight ends, three wide. I don't, two backs, one back, no backs. Could be any of that. And I'm not going to be able to tell that where I would be able to tell that in past years.
Do you anticipate there being problems with just different teams doing different things when you're playing at their home stadium for them to get an advantage? I don't know if it's maybe some, can you if you go play Dallas in Dallas, my feeling is there's going to be fans in the stand. But if you go play in New England, at least for the first month, there's not going to be anybody here. Is that fair? Is that a fair?
No, it's not fair.
It's not.
Same thing with Kansas City. Kansas City and Seattle are the two loudest environments to play.
Kansas City's planning on having fans, from everything I've been told.
They've had them at practice, but supposedly the spacing wasn't what they thought it was going to be, and they're a little upset people didn't have masks on.
Okay, I'm fascinated because the season's only 3 weeks away.
We don't know yet. It's crazy.
Nobody knows exactly.
No man's land. But I think the good news is over 58,000 NFL people, meaning players, staff, building personnel, football people, have been tested. Over 58,000 COVID tests have been administered since August 12th.
Well, I think more than that.
There have only been 6 positive tests.
For now. That have been reported.
Right now. But, we had the false negatives, 77 of them, the other day that got tainted in a Jersey lab that it got sent to. And, get ready for that bleep storm on a Friday or Sunday of NFL football.
There's going to be some shenanigans with that? You think there's going to be guys that are...
Shenanigans with everything, right?
I could just see a lot of teams taking liberties with the rules and, maybe not reporting certain things.
Right.
Let's face it, the NFL it's a little different how they operate, comparatively speaking, to the other leagues.
All right, we know that. You excited for playoff hockey? Been watching the Bruins, Ted?
Love it. Love it.
All right.
Love it.
We're going to do a little hockey real quick. We don't preview a lot of the games. I think that's one of the toughest things to do in hockey. Obviously, Bruins play tonight, game 2, but I think the schedule could be a little problematic for them based on the team they're playing.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk a little Bruins, give you a quick update on that team as we get you set for game 2 of round 2 tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Christian Arcan with the Hub headlines, and then we talk Bruins.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Isla Chernak holds, back for point left circle, shoots, save Halak!
That is a great save again.
Yaroslav Halak, he'll bring Stanley back. Yaroslav Halak.
Yaroslav Halak.
Halak. Listen, I want to rally around Halak.
Halak.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are better off with Halak than they are with Tuukka.
Halak.
Thank you. All right. Time for a little hockey show here. Two football guys talking hockey with a borrowed guy from the night show. Yaroslav Halak, 4-1 in the postseason as the Bruins goalie. A game 2 against the Lightning tonight. We're not previewing the game. I got concerns with it because I expect them to be good tonight.
Yeah.
Then you get scared because all of a sudden it's back-to-back. And they got to play again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, say he sees a ton of shots. He saw a ton of shots. What was that period 2 the other night?
Yeah.
Arcan, he pretty much stood on his head, and he got them 2 cheapies in off McAvoy's stick. I don't even count them, but I thought he was better than 2 games ago where he left a couple easy ones in, and yep. People are getting a little alarmed. Oh, God, hopefully Tuukka comes back. No, saddle up with this guy. Let's ride. I'll take Halak at 100%, then an unengaged 80% Tuukka. And you had some takes on Tuukka. You said you get frustrated with him.
I was always surprised that a lot of people just with Halak in there. I know. Obviously, Rask is overall a better goalie.
He's better goalie.
But you underestimate. I think just the dark cloud that Rask was kind of bringing to the whole organization. I think he wasn't engaged. And so I think
it's, see, do you really think it was a bad cloud though? I take it as those veterans that know him, it seems like they sort of expect it and rub it off.
How can
because you know what the guy is.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But
you play with guys, we play with guys.
Not like that.
Weren't totally engaged, but boy, on game day they could show up. You know what I mean?
So there was one guy I played with, like, and you played with him too, that I think was sometimes like that. Okay. Terry Glenn.
Terry
would sometimes Terry just was, but was it at the precipice of a playoff run when you were the best team in the NFL and at a position that is the key position on a hockey team?
Yeah, he entered the bubble.
I just can't imagine guys being like, oh, that's just how Rask is. Okay.
But that's what they said. See, like the Bruins said, we've been in touch.
Saying.
We kind of knew it. We've been talking about, like, this problem existed once they probably got into the bubble, and he's one of those guys that tells you how I'm feeling.
I think they're all publicly saying the right things, but I can't imagine privately they're like completely supporting that decision because, look, I know you, like, we all care. Like, you care about your teammate and his mental health and him being happy. But when everybody else's really legacies are on the line, and it's the most – look, I need you to play well, Zoe, for me to accomplish the things I want to. And so you rely on guys. It's an interdependent,
job. How do you leave
it's not team? Like a job right. where you're just doing widgets where, you know, the guy next to you is not affected. What you do affects the guy next to you and the legacy of the guy next to you. And that's where I would think – that's where – so to me, they are rallying around the fact that Halak is the guy, and to me, and it's making them overall a better team. I don't care what anybody says; it's making that team overall a better team, and maybe that's what they needed to happen.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, the quote unquote preseason games that Marshawn's always talking about, you know, they did not look interested, and now when Rask.
Hey, credit to him. They were right.
When Rask.
He's proved it.
You know, decides to opt out, it just got turned up. Yeah. Everybody started playing better. And I don't think it's a coincidence.
So you look at the schedule. So it's three games in the next 4 days. And that's where I take a look at it and say, we're really going to find out about Halak here. Not that he can't handle that grind, but this is a pretty damn good team skill set wise. Arcan, what's your update again? We got big injury news here that's going to affect the Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Ryan McDonough is out. He got tangled up with Connor Clifton at the beginning of the third period. Yep. He came back for like 10 seconds, and then they took him down the hall. He didn't come back after that.
Connor Clifton? I mean, he came on last year, and he looked like he was 12 years old. And, dude, he lays the wood on guys. He's not a very big guy.
Yeah, but this guy's minutes have gone down. We looked at his minutes the other day. Guys played a lot of hockey, a lot of playoff hockey. Experienced guy. It's a big loss for them.
He's their minutes leader on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big. That is big.
So Bruins tonight, 7:00 puck drop. We have the pregame, 6:30. Tom, is it on our station? Bruins,
yes.
Correct? I got confused
pre-game,
last week.
6:30, games at 7.
And I canceled Maz's baseball reporters by mistake. So I didn't want to do that again because we do have sister stations. We do air games on when we have multiple games going on. One, Celtics, you know, hey, we're going to have some fun here as we get the football cranked up if these teams continue to make deep runs here. Carrying three sports, man.
It's the best. It's the cup runneth over. We go from 4 months of nothing to it's sensory overload right now.
Yeah, it's good to see Krejci playing. Krejci playoff hockey. These other guys, Elvain Coyle's been great. Continue that path. Tonight's a big one, though. This is a big one because if Tampa gets this one and then they're able to pull something on the back-to-back, the series could swing.
I don't think Tampa is – look, they are
– I'd say tonight's more important than tomorrow night.
So is it a must-win?
Is it a must – for if the Bruins win, if they go 2-0 tonight, is the series over?
I don't say it's a must-win because you're not your back's stuck up against the wall where you're dealing with some sort of odd injury and we're trying to cover something.
Yeah, but you don't know how Halak's going to be back on a back-to-back.
We don't. That's why I say I think tonight could be critical because say he's not good tonight and all of a sudden the panic sets in. And maybe now all of a sudden it gets in my head and I'm not seeing things where I should be seeing it.
He can handle it.
Hey, one thing you know from watching him through the last five or six games is get the hell out of his space, man. He struggles when there's people in front of him. He can't see things. Well, who can? But, I mean, the best ones, and they got a good one in net with Vasilevsky. But, yeah, so
I love it because here's one of those things. If they end up winning
this team's
the whole thing,
a bunch of pricks too. I can't stand
Tampa Bay
Tampa team. Yeah,
yeah, but they're impressive, man.
They're chippy. They're aggressive. They haven't won. You know, I don't know. Reminds me of Vancouver.
Here's
back
the thing.
In the day.
This is a huge game for Tampa when you consider last year's what they did in the playoffs last year. Let's face it. That team they crapped themselves last year in the playoffs. They had, I think, the best record in the NHL and then got bounced early. This team is got that motivation from last year. And to me, that's for them, they feel like they got to win tonight. And they have a lot of pressure because they're considered the best team in the NHL. And they got to go out there and they're going to come out. That first quarter for
up and back.
Tampa Bay.
Did you hear Joe Murray this morning? Over and under. He's taking the under 1.5 total first period. So Murray's taking a 1-0 first period.
We're 0-0.
I think we're going over. I think it's going over 1.5. I think it's like a 2-1 first period.
Oof.
Check. Mark the tape on that.
So
called it. Called it. 2-1 first period Bruins. Time is it?
I think
11:45.
I think it's going to be. Look, I think the scoring's going to come later. I think they're going to just.
Oh, do you, Mr. Hockey?
I do. I think they're going to beat the crap out of each other. It's going to be very much a physical. They're going to play physical.
So
that first one's going to be. That first period is going to be 0-0, and then it's going to be a scoring barrage later on.
So Esposito is their color guy. The Tampa Bay call. So your buddies with Derek Sanderson. He loves Sanderson. So going back to the days of being around Espo, I love this guy. So he's just an old guy. That's a bad goal there. Espo's nuts. He's got his own podcast. You got to tune in.
Bill Hockey guys are some of my favorite guys.
They're nuts.
They're insane.
Rick Middleton, all those guys.
But I haven't met a jerk at not one. All of them have been really good dudes, I've met.
The nice thing about being retired guys is we get a chance to go around and do some of these basketball, softball things, these appearances we do with these guys. And you run into the Brad Parks, the Rick Middletons, Esposito, done some stuff with him. Just fun as hell.
I don't know what it is about those guys, but
guys are the most real.
They are the most down to earth guys.
Even Chris Nyland. A lot of people don't like Nyland, obviously, but I've done a lot of stuff with Knuckles. He's fun. I go on a show up in Montreal. So
they're good dudes.
All right.
Scoring barrage late in the game.
So Ted's predicting scoring barrage.
I think Tampa wins this game. Let's
long rebound, Marchand.
If they win the whole thing, what's Halak going to be? How's he going to be viewed around this town?
I give him the cup first.
Tuukka Rask, and you see the Bruins holding up that trophy at the end.
Oof. See, and that's the most. I said this yesterday too. I said this would be like you talk about spite, not spite, but talk about karma and the way the world spins. A lot of people think that Tuukka needs this championship, needs a cup run, a cup championship to validate him, to stamp him as being one of the greatest goaltenders, to go down. And could you imagine the guy taps out, Halak goes on a run, he brings home the Stanley Cup.
That would be incredible. And he would be glorified, and he would be...
If that happens, you can't bring Tuukka back next year.
No,
I'm sorry. I think he's gone to begin with. But if
they win the whole thing, a lot of legacies are cemented. A lot of guys. Because right now, it's kind of people. A lot of people are on the fence on some of the, Bergeron and Chara. It's like, how good are... If they win another one, it puts them in a different class.
The best thing was Marchand was in here a couple months ago cutting some sound, so he came up the steps and he ran into T-Bone. T-Blades back there, our big hockey guy, producer. You know what he called him? Man Rocket. He goes, look at you, Man Rocket. See, Ted's one of those adult Man Rockets. He's like a large Man Rocket. So we got two Man Rockets in studio. We were having a discussion on food and what Ted eats and during the break, and Ted told me all this stuff. Well... This next segment here, I had a sandwich yesterday, and I've been doing this sandwich a certain way. I don't know if you've heard, but we're a mayonnaise-based show.
Are we going to do a real good innings eater for radio?
I was outed as a fraud because I've talked about
mayonnaise. Go.
No,
and then let
No. That's not a rating bait thing.
Okay.
It's a real thing because I discovered Cane's twice, and I didn't know that I discovered it like 2 years ago, and I was called a fraud because someone actually pulled up the audio. These freaks we have listening could actually find that stuff. And on this specific sandwich that I like, I'll tell you all about it next.
Okay.
It's not Cane's. It's Hellman's. And I got accosted yesterday on Twitter. And I blame Jim Murray for this because Jim Murray's his food snob. And he's got to have his sandwiches a certain way. And he looks down upon you if you don't eat it like him.
Oh, okay.
I've been eating this sandwich a certain way. My son eats it now, and it's his favorite. Mm-hmm. And I stand by it. And I think it's one of the best sandwiches going. We'll tell you what that sandwich is next, and I want you to react. We're doing the Italian Power Hour next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The former QB, always laser-focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A boy went back to Napoli because he missed the scenery. The native dances and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong, 'cause now it's
Mambo, Mambo Italiano, hey Mambo, Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano, all you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with it.
Brush up, brush all.
Gabagool.
All right.
You had a sandwich that was so memorable that you got to bring it to the air.
Okay.
Like it hits you like a lightning bolt.
This is my customary Italian sub sandwich. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't care where I go. Subway, if it's easy, it's there. Bang, I'll hit it. Cold cut combo.
Yeah.
Lettuce, pickles, onions, mayonnaise, vinegar, and oil.
Mm.
And a little salt, a little pepper, rolled up. I ate that yesterday. Okay, so Jim Murray's out. So he tweets out a picture of him holding the Coors Light, which I don't endorse anymore, so we're open for anything else. Tito's, let's go. Get on it, Dan Alpern. Jim Murray is holding a Coors Light at a pool, and I'm looking at his feet. And then people are talking about, hey, Jim, I'm out on vacation. What about this sub shop down in Stoughton? Oh, the best. This and that. And they're going back. So I tweeted at Jim. Just had the sandwich of my life. I went to C. Scott's, which is a little convenience liquor store / food store. Right when you get off the highway at 95.
Driven by it a million times.
They get the best chicken salad. They're known for chicken salad. RKK goes in there to get the chicken salad.
Didn't
I go in for the Italian, the Italiano. Yeah, I get that one. So I say, hey. And they says, oh, what's up? You want the normal? I say, yep. They put it on. They get the capicola. They got the pepperoni, the salami.
Yeah.
So I say, extra mayo. And he said, oh, that's right, extra mayo. Vinegar and oil, hots. No hots, because I don't want that kickback. And
I'm with you on that.
It burns. I want to taste the sandwich and enjoy it.
I've never understood that.
Onions. Okay. I'll take the onions and put extra mayo on it. Man, did I get lit up on Twitter. 617-779-0985.
I
want
mayo?
The Italians. I got...
mayonnaise isn't put on Italian, typically.
I got an Italian in the control room right now, Mark Capello, if you look at him.
Yeah.
He's our game day producer for Bob Sosia and myself, Patriots Radio Rock Network. Almost
one of the hardest working guys in the business that you never see.
Oh, he's the
best. You hardly ever see the guy.
And he's got a comment for everything, good or bad. I don't care. He doesn't care, but he lets his opinion be known.
Oh, I love that about Mark.
Mayonnaise on an Italian sub, yes or no?
Oh, God, no. No.
What is it with you? Why do Italians not want... Why do they not want mayonnaise?
Large Italian, everything, hots. You have to have hots.
Why do you have to have the hots?
No
mayo, I don't want to burn my taste
buds. No vinegar, but you have to have the olive oil.
No vinegar?
No, I don't like the vinegar. No.
How do you just eat a
vinegar
sub with just
smells
olive
like
oil
feet.
On it?
It's awful.
No, it doesn't smell like feet.
Mayo's terrible. You cannot have mayo on an Italian sandwich.
I've been eating it this way for 25, 30 years.
Hots. Hots.
What's the name of the sub shop down in Foxborough we used to go to all the time before games?
Oh,
Primo's. Primo's subs. They got a great steak and cheese. Got a great Italian diner. Italian's about the bread, right?
It's about
See,
the bread.
But that's why.
Yeah, it's got to be soft.
Like I go to Lambert's down here in Dorchester, too.
You cannot have mayo on an Italian sandwich.
If you have a thick, hard roll. I love the extra mayonnaise on there to help soften the bread.
No. Then go to a place that has soft bread.
Our phones are lighting up. Again, 617-779-0985.
Very personal mayo. Issue with that.
Quick question for Italians. What's gabagool?
What do you mean, what's gabagool?
What's gabagool? Like, I was watching Sopranos the other day. Tony walks in. He said, give me a bread, give me a gabagool and a pepper.
Capicola?
Capicola.
Yeah. Capicola.
Right, right, right.
Okay, what about when I was watching The Office and Mr. Ingotti came in and tried to sell Michael Scott I want the spaghetti. If the red sauce doesn't come on the side, I will send it back. And then Michael ordered a bowl of gabagool. And I didn't know what gabagool was.
And the waitress is like, I don't think we have
gabagool. And he said, get him the gabagool. And he said, I'll have the spaghetti with the salad. And if the salad comes on top, I'll send it back. Right? I'm good with the office stuff. But it's amazing. I mean, you guys are so hard-headed. Why is it just
no mayo? The mayo is just that's a tough sell.
Okay. That's insulting.
That's a tough sell.
Sunday sauce. And
I love it. Put the mayo on there.
Sad day yesterday.
It's sauce. It's not gravy.
Anthony from the Prince Spaghetti commercial died yesterday.
He did.
Hey, Anthony. Yeah. You know, Sunday, is it sauce or gravy?
It's sauce. It's always sauce.
Who calls it gravy?
Jersey people.
Jersey and Philadelphia
Jersey
people.
In New York.
See, this is good. I'm learning.
It's culture. It's sauce. Gravy is for Thanksgiving. Okay, that's.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Sauce is for pasta.
I would encourage you to try the mayonnaise.
No, and I've had the mayonnaise.
And no, people, no. It's not Cane's I'm going for on this. Not Miracle Whip. Regular
mayonnaise.
Hellman's. No. Hellman's no. Mayonnaise on an Italian.
Mayo's, no.
It's delicious.
You want to taste the cold cuts. You want to taste the hots, the onions, yeah. And mayo is just,
okay. You think the mayo, it crosses that all out, huh? You think that'll over... Right.
Hey, no. Mark, thanks for joining us. You can go back to watching Fox News, buddy.
It's good to see you, Mark.
I love you.
good to see you, buddy.
I'll see you, pal. All right, let's go to... we're lighting them up here. First in line, let's go to Dave. Dave, you're up next. Zolak and Bertrand, what's up? Hey, Dave? Tom, you got Dave? Hold on.
That a boy.
How about that? Dave?
There.
Hi, how are you?
Who's this?
Ruben Revere.
What's up?
What's going on?
What's up, man?
What about the mayo on the Italian?
Oh, Zoe. I mean, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be putting the mayo on it. It just runs the whole thing.
Mm. What's the matter, you?
Wait a minute. Arcane, you grew up in the North End, right?
That's right.
Do you put mayo on?
But if you don't say no mayo, they'll put mayo on it.
Well,
I don't put it on.
Why do they do it if it's so taboo?
So it's typical. The Italian sandwich usually comes with mayonnaise? No.
Generally,
no.
I think it does. Yeah. General? Most sub places I go to, they put it on there, but I don't like it on there.
All right, let's go my boy Max. What's up, Max?
Gene's Variety in Milford. Got to get the mayo on the Italian grinder at Gene's Variety in Milford.
Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely. All right, appreciate that.
You're getting some support now, Zoe.
Okay. What we don't want to turn this into is a shout-out to sub shops. My question is it acceptable to put mayonnaise on an Italian sub?
I say yes, but I'm not Italian.
Teddy J says yes.
I'm with you.
And look at that guy. Jim Louth. We're getting an out-of-state opinion here. Warwick, Rhode Island-based Jim Louth. Your opinion on mayonnaise on a hard roll Italian sub?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Capella's really the only one that has an issue with it.
No, it's hardcore Italians have an issue with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, man, I'm just like, sorry about that, but who else we got here? Dave back? You got Dave? No. Oh, I hate these phones.
We were talking about your favorite condiments.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right. We're going to fix the phone screener here. We're going to go to headlines. You ready to go?
Chick-fil-A
ready to go there, North End Spaghetti Boy. All right. Arcane Hub headline. I'm pulling callers up left and right.
You have callers.
Hang on. Hang tight. Loaded phone lines. Our phones are exploding. We did sports for 2 hours.
We're going to figure out how to work the phones here.
And now we got unlimited calls on Italians. Bob Sosi, Harry Italian, he is. We got him at 12:20.
We'll ask him.
It's the Italian Power Hour next on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.